Yeah. Good. I whispered to Ashley, I said, you should have sang another song. This morning I just want to share with you guys, if you want to turn over to Luke chapter 8, we're going to bounce in there for just a little bit. That's where we're going to be this morning. I have preached this message a couple times, but when you do it, you can preach on some messages and look at it in different ways, but yet still keep the truth. Okay, you can look at it and you can go through, okay, let me look at it from, let's preach it from the lost angle, let's preach it from the saved angle, let's preach it from the ministry side, let's preach it from the broken side. And this one here, I want to share with you today that ministry is hard. So just as much as those who are living a life that is in the sinful life and want help, and that is hard, and trying to get out of that sinful lifestyle, I want to tell you ministry is hard as well. Sometimes you just want to throw out a life preserver and let go a lifeboat to someone, and they would preferably just rather drown than grab it. It's the way some people are. And so ministry is hard, not just the physical part of it, but it's more actually the draining of the spiritual and the emotional side of ministry. I want to, Phil, will you put that up? I just want to use one piece up here today. I usually don't use maps, and I usually don't preach like this, but I think it's important today. I'm going to read something out of Luke chapter 8 in verse 22. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in a great danger. And the disciples went and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are going to drown. And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. And where is your faith? He asked his disciples. And in fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I want to show you a little bit on this map. It is very important because I want to show you what this really looks like. I usually don't use a pointer. But Capernaum is right there. It's pretty much where most believe that he came from this moment. And this area of Decapolis right here is here. This where he's heading. Now, Jesus knows where he's heading, but the disciples don't. That's important. Jesus said, let's go to the other side of the lake. Jesus knows what he's going to do. They don't. But there's also something else that knows that he's coming. That is evil. Demonic knows that he's coming. I'm going to show you in Scripture how it is, because when you read Scripture, you really need to read it and ask God to give you insight on what's going on. I preach this message many times, but every time I get into it, God takes me into a deeper place in it. And what we see here, right here, is that they're leaving, and this is about, 10 miles. So basically, if they're going here, down in this area, right in here, some people believe it's here, some people believe it's over here. Now, there's something that's very important, too. Some of the Gentiles wanted Jesus to do something amazing. Wanted a miracle, wanted this. But Jesus said, I didn't come for you, I came for the Jews. Now later on, we know that when Jesus ascended into heaven, died, crucified, ascended into heaven, the Gentile ministry was given to Paul and to the church. But Jesus is going to make a move here, and we see many people, the scholars believe that Jesus only went into Decapolis really maybe just this one time. Others say three times, but it depends on how you... the reason I don't get this deep, but I think it's important. Some people say that, because the old maps and things, that Jesus was over here just a little bit, just on the border, but never went in. But he did go in on the beachhead down in here. And there's a purpose for that. When Jesus and his disciples, it says, let's go to the other side. People didn't go over here. This Decapolis, didn't go that part. Even the word Hellenistic came out of that place. That is the place you don't go into. They worship gods and idols and they sacrifice people and they do all kinds of things. That's the evil side of the sea. That's the evil side. This over here is Jerusalem and Nazareth, and you'll see all these great places over here. This is where the Jews are all at. But this is where those who live by the world are right there. Jesus is going to go in there. Now, we know that Jesus did all kinds of miracles all the way around this thing. All kinds of things. Feeding of the 4,000 over here, Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda, healing someone. Jesus did a lot of work around the Sea of Galilee, but he's going over into this Decapolis area. And something happens on the way from there down in here. What did it say? It says, as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus doesn't stress under pressure of ministry. We do, but he doesn't. He doesn't stress over. Listen, if you're stressing, you can't sleep. Okay? Some of you know you've had sleepless nights. Because why? Because you stress, anxiety, all those things. But this is something that's important. He is sleeping, but it says a squall came down. Now, a squall is not a storm. Now, if you go to the book of Acts, you'll see that Paul and them were on a ship going to Rome, and they hit a storm called the Northeastern. And it was a huge storm. I mean, that thing covered the region, and it just wiped their ship out. They were shipwrecked and all that. This is a squall. It's a isolated storm that comes a little, not even a storm, just a, it's a hard rain, hard wind. It comes out of the middle of nowhere, and it just lands in a place, and it does a bunch of damage, and then it's done and vaporized away. And that happens right around in here somewhere. Now, the book of Mark will tell you that the Bible says there were other boats alongside. They tried to follow Jesus. But when we read scripture here, what we read here is that it says they sailed at the region, in verse 26, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. And basically what it says in the book of Mark, that the boat landed, but it didn't say the other boats landed. I don't know what happened to them. But we know that storm came in there, and Jesus calms that storm. I want to tell you, Jesus knew where he was going, but evil also knew where he was going. I believe that that storm was thrown up. I believe it's thrown up by darkness. It was thrown up by darkness. Evil did not want them coming. Because when light penetrates darkness, darkness has to flee. But it says they sailed there. And it says, when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from that town. Now, if you go into your maps, you'll see that the town is back in here somewhere. And the graveyard is over in this area somewhere. And the shore is right there. They knew, the demonic knew Jesus was coming. Now, for you that are spiritually strong, you need to wake up here just for a minute. Turn it on just a little bit more. How hard was it for New Life to get to where it is today? Why do we have such a hard time? Why is this struggling? Why are we why is this so stressfully hard? Why does this seem like we tried to start this, but we go two steps forward and it seems like we go three steps back? Why is it so hard? Because the demonic sees light being ready to set up and begin to do the work of God. And what happens is the demonic begins to push back. Doesn't want you to know that it's demonic. Wants you to know it's something of you don't have enough funds, you don't have enough people, you don't have the right facilities. Making those things that make you look at it in a worldly way, not in a spiritual way. You see, they were saying, oh, who is this that can calm the storm and the seas, the waves and the seas? And they're learning and they're processing who Jesus is. But Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew where he needed to go. And I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't walk into the town at all. He just puts his feet on the shore and does some business there. Okay? So, they're there, and so what happens? He says, for a long time, this man had worn clothes or lived in a house. I need to back up here. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from that town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house. This man did not function like most people. People were afraid of him. He did not function as a normal person in society, but he had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" He knew who he was without Jesus saying who he was. There's more going on here than what the disciples can see. They're seeing it with their eyes, but they're not seeing it totally with their spiritual eyes. The evil did not even want Jesus on the seashore. They didn't even want him going into those towns. They did not even want him in there at all. And shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." You see, what's in him knows who he is. And what he means by, "I beg of you, don't torture me," means that these fallen angels, which are demonic, that are inside this individual, they know that their end is, they know they have an end. And they weren't sure if that time was right now. They weren't sure how it was going to be. But he says, "I beg you, don't torture me." We're afraid of the darkness. And we ought not to be. For if truth was really shown, darkness is afraid of the light. They're afraid of the light. It says, for Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man, and many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So this was a lifestyle that wasn't normal. This was a lifestyle that wasn't normal for people. You know what? Drug addiction is not a normal lifestyle. You know alcoholism is not a normal lifestyle. You know the other way, the things that we do in life is not a normal lifestyle in the way that we are supposed to be as people. Light is trying to penetrate into a place called Decapolis. Not even going to get past the seashore at this moment. Since this individual in the book of Mark tells us there were actually two men, but sometimes the Bible focuses on that one. Some scriptures just focuses just on the one, but there are actually two men here that are demon possessed. But this one is focused on because it's the one that talks. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. So basically what's happening is Jesus asked what your name is and they said Legion, and they kept begging through this man's voice, through this person, "Don't send us into the abyss." They are fearful of their end. Some of you ought to be fearful of your end. Because you're living a life without Christ. You're living a life in darkness without Christ in it. And there are, so as I back up, remember there are those who are trying to come into the darkness with the light. And some of them, listen, remember back up here. Let me show you. So we're talking about Capernaum. Jesus says, let's go to the other side. That sounds great to a lot of people. Ministry sounds good to a lot of people. It does. It sounds good to a lot of people. Sounds good. They like the idea of the ministry. I'm going to go. Then someone says, I want to go. Let's go. Some people talk about going. But there are only a few that really do. Because it's very hard to leave this place of safety and being familiar of it, comfort zone. But when you sail across and you leave, let me tell you, you just crossed the line and you went into the territory of God's ministry. You are wanting to take the light into the dark regions, and to get from there to there takes total commitment. And the battle isn't always there where you think you're going. The battle is getting from there to there. When it wants to stop you from coming in, it wants to stop you from coming in. But let me tell you, testimonies don't happen back up there in Capernaum. Testimonies, you share other people's testimonies there. But if you want a testimony, you got to get out into the world of ministry. And ministry is messy because people are messy. But one thing I want to share with you, don't gloat on the mess you are in. Don't gloat on the mess that you have in your life. Don't gloat in that. Don't patronize that. Don't boast in what you used to be. Boast in where Jesus brought you from. Boast in how Jesus has changed your life. For Jesus commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him. And he continued to do that. And he said, "What is your name?" Legion. Now, very few of us have heard demonics speaking to an individual. If you are a lost person and you heard demonic, I've been very fearful for you. The demons have been around for thousands and thousands and I don't know how long. They know how humans act. They are not afraid of humans. But when a human becomes saved through the power and the glory of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they become afraid at those moments because it's not who the person is, it's the person inside that person. And that person is the Holy Spirit. That's who they fear. Because the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, part of the Trinity of Jesus Christ. That's why they were afraid of Jesus, thought their time had come to the end. Don't send us to the abyss. And it says a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. Now that's an important piece. We don't think, you know, today, if I go to breakfast somewhere, I'm bound to get bacon. And if you don't like bacon, a lot of people love the smell of bacon. Like me, I don't like coffee, but I like the smell of coffee. But in this time, pigs were considered to be, they were unlawful for the Jews to eat. They were dirty and unlawful. God knew about the health issues too, high cholesterol and all that stuff. You really go back and you read the things that God tells you not to eat, it's really not good for you. He already knew. But he says a large herd of pigs were feeding there on the hillside. And that's one thing you wouldn't see on this other side. You wouldn't see swine and pigs over here. Not really. Because the Jews wouldn't eat them. But over in the capitalists, they were everywhere. But the demons begged Jesus to let them go into them. You see, darkness always wants to be with darkness. Let me go into the pigs. Let me go into the swine. Let me go into the pigs. And he gave them permission. It is an amazing piece that Christ gave them permission to do that. Why do you think that? Because the time hasn't come for their judgment. Their time wasn't come to destroy them in that time. But the Bible says in Revelation there will become a time. So that's a promise from God's word that there will come a time when God will destroy these demons. That's what they were afraid of, that time was right now. So Christ allows them to go into those demons, and when the demons came out of the man, they went out into the pigs and the herd, and they rushed down to the steep banks in the lake, and they were drowned. So they ran off the hill cliff, and if you go back to your maps, you'll see right in that area is a lot of cliffs. They just ran off, and they just drowned. It didn't kill the demons, but it took care of the pigs that died. Now, when those tending the pigs saw what had happened, so there's an audience out there. They ran off and reported this in town, the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in and in his right mind. This man had a change in his life. Let me tell you, if you come to Christ, there's going to be a change. Too many people think that they have Christ and there's no change. I'm telling you, if there's no change, you don't have Christ. You can't meet Christ and allow Him to be in your life without a change in your life. I don't care what it is. Jesus makes changes, but you got to allow Him to make those changes. He's not going to come into your life unless He's going to make a change. And I'm telling you, nobody could destroy, nobody could take care of these men who were living in the graveyard, breaking chains, cutting themselves. Other scripture says they would take stones and mark, they would just continue to cut themselves, and then they were just defiling the body. They were a mess. They were demon possessed. And some of you have probably cut yourself and been in some places like that. Listen, that's things of darkness. But we in society want to call it a mental disorder. So let me give you some pills for that. We have other things that we need to give a pill for that. And I'm not saying the pills aren't healthy. I think they're good for some people. But the world is not going to accept that Jesus Christ came and died for you. It's not going to happen. You cannot convince the world that Jesus came and died for you. So it has to come up with things to fix it and make themselves feel adequate and be able to handle it. There are more people, I'm just going to step out on the line, there are more people that are possessed in this world than what we will ever know. And some of you are afraid of it. And you'll need to be afraid of it if you're in Jesus Christ. But if you're not, it could come and come inside of you because there's no ownership inside of you. Now today I know who owns me because I was purchased at a price. That my sins were forgiven. That I had been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, being Jesus Christ. Accepted the gift of salvation into my heart, confessing that He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was buried and yet resurrected. And faith ignites that you believe in Jesus Christ. And this man came down at the shore running and saying, and knowing who it is, Jesus, the Son of God, what are you doing here? No, don't. And it was the demons that were speaking, taking over this and possess this man. You see, we see possessed people on your phone, looking at YouTube, seeing some things that are just, you know, that's just not right. There's things that go on in the community that are just not right. And if you don't want to believe in the demons, which you need to, but you need to believe that His works are working around you. And there's a change in this man. When they come down, they see him, and he's sitting at Jesus' feet. What does that mean? People that are changed want to be around Jesus. Hello? People that are changed want to be around Jesus and the things and the people of Jesus Christ. Not in the old place, not in the old places, not in the old houses, not in the old junk, but they want to be around Jesus. Not just on Sunday morning, but in their whole life. Found around Jesus. And they saw that He looked different. They saw that He looked different. You know, you can tell sometimes when people, you just hear somebody walk, you just feel them walking up to you, and you're talking to them, and you just know, and they're talking about Jesus, like, man, God must be doing a work in that person's life. You can tell, you just know. And they see this man, that he was changed, he was dressed in it, and he was in his right mind. How many of y'all go back and look at, you can go on any site and look at some arrest pictures. When they were arrested, and what they look like. And what they look like before. The mugshots. We have some in our family like, how in the world? What in the world is going on? And you see that picture and they look like they're 20. Usually when it's in the drug addiction issue, they look 20, 25 years older than what they are. Because I'm telling you, a sinful life will beat down your body. It will beat down your body and take your, it begins to take your years away. Hello, it will take your years away. And the Bible says in John 10:10, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He is stealing years away from you so that you will eventually die in your sin and you will be eternally destroyed. And we need to wake up. It's happening amongst this community. Listen, let me get to it. This is Decapolis. This neighborhood is Decapolis. And we have been sent here all across the sea with the hardships that this church has had. We planted our feet down on the shore, but there's still some things we cannot do. Let me get to that. So those who have seen him, he says, those who have seen it told the people and how the demon-possessed man had been cured. So some people that were watching went out and told, this guy is different. And then all the people of the region gathered up and asked Jesus. They came in. They didn't ask Jesus to come in. They told him to go away. Go away. We don't want you here. And that has been said of this church from time to time, especially in the beginning years of just talking about ministry, just talking about opening a soup kitchen, just talking about opening a women's shelter. So people didn't want it here. And who are those people that didn't want it here? Those whose darkness is working through. Those whose darkness is working through. Because if it happens, then those of the darkness will begin, some of them will begin to change. So all the people of that region asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. Darkness is afraid of light, not the other way around. So quit being afraid of what you read on the news. It is the world. Satan is working it. Because there is a fear in darkness that they don't want you to know. The Bible tells us, and Paul tells Timothy, for God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. He gives us the spirit of fear or timidity, but the power of love. Love and a sound mind. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So what happens? It says that all the people told him to leave. So he got in the boat and left, getting ready to leave. Pack it up, we're going to leave. You know, the Bible says if you go to a, Jesus would later say, if you go to a town, they don't accept you, take your sandals and just wipe your feet right off, wipe the dust off, and you leave town. And Jesus says, it'll be better than that day in the end. Whew, I'm telling you, it was better for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. So what happens? Something crazy happens. He says, verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. He begged to go with Jesus. I want to go with Jesus. Because when you become and you get Christ into your life, this man had a miracle in his life. And he wants to go with Jesus. But Jesus says something to him that for most of us, it makes no sense. But the man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So what's he going to do? Let's look at this. What's he going to do? Right here. Jesus comes over with the disciples. They land right here on the shore. They share, and he delivers a couple of guys from demon possession. From demon possession. Jesus says, well, it's time to go back home. It's time to go back. And somebody wants to get on there. What a testimony that would be if he got into the boat and they brought him over. But Jesus says, no. I want you to stay. I want you to tell everybody how much God has done for you. And what's he saying? So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus and the disciples were able to go to the shore. The cemetery, and that's right over there, and right over here is the town. So his ministry flooded past where his own feet were. So the ministry that you do can expand past where you actually had put your feet and your work into. The key part here is that man who was changed went out and helped and told other people about the change in his life. What did I say from the beginning? A lot of people like the idea of ministry. A lot of people say they're going to get involved in ministry, but very few do. This individual, the Bible says that he does. And not very many of us are doing that. Jesus met a woman at the well. She committed adultery, all those things. God called it out. She came to know who Christ was. That, and he says, you need to go back home and tell everybody what you've learned here today. And she went back. This man told me everything about myself and all these things. And the people began to see, and they began to believe, not just on her own testimony anymore, but upon Jesus Christ. And what happens is, when a person who's living in the dark can turn their life around, but only through Christ. Listen, you can get off drugs without Christ. If you do, you're still lost. Hello? You're still lost. You think you got the biggest victory in your life, but you did it. The biggest victory in your life is coming to Christ. Is coming to Christ. You can get clean, sober, making more money. You can get a bigger house. You can get better jobs. And you think you can get a better spouse. You can get all that stuff. But you lost. You lost. Rich people go to hell. Listen, clean people go to hell. Sober people go to hell. But only those who call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, they shall be saved. They go to heaven. The Bible says your name needs to be written in the Lamb's book of life. That means basically the Lamb is Jesus. So Jesus' book, you need to be. Your name needs to be in Jesus' book. And I hope you have that today. And I want to tell you how crazy ministry is. Nobody did more ministry than Jesus. And the ministry that he did in a short amount of time was just amazing. It says, now when Jesus returned, he returns back over. He's getting ready to do something. But think about the time. Think about the time right there. Jesus is heading back. Disciples are heading back. This guy's heading this way. Ministry produces ministry. Did you hear that? And then it says in verse 40, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him. Here he is. Let me tell you, Jesus left the crowd that he left from, went and did some ministry for two guys that it would expand out into the community, came back, went through that squall, came back, and the crowd was ready. Let me tell you, it's not always about the crowd. It's not always about the numbers. This church has changed. It is not the same church it was 10 years ago. Your families of four are not here right now. Most of them are not here. Here's a few. Praise the Lord. I like families of four too. But it brings in broken people, and it's becoming more and more of who we are and who God wants us to be. A church standing at a crossroads, willing to go across into Decapolis. Now, I want to tell you really quick, because I got to be quick, because I want to close out here. I want you to go to Revelations. If you have your Bibles, go to Revelations really quick too. Revelations chapter 3. In Revelations chapter 2 and 3, what we do see is we see the seven churches. Amen. Y'all know about seven churches, some of you. Jesus sent a letter. You have seven churches for those of you that know. Some of those of you that don't, we're going to talk about one church for just a minute. For just a minute. Can I tell you that all out of these seven churches, five of them where Christ was pretty hard on them. They were messing up. Wrong doctrine. Lukewarm. The dead church. The church that was doing great, but they didn't love Jesus like they used to. Oh, man. Didn't that break God's heart? You're doing it, but you don't love me like you used to. Falling out of love. There were two churches. One was going through persecution, and God says, you just hang in there, hang in there. I'm going to get you through this. But there's this one church. This one church, and it's called the Church of Philadelphia. To the Church of Philadelphia, he writes this. Now, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. Hold the key of David. What he opens, what Jesus opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. Basically, Jesus is in charge. He says, I know your deeds. He says, I know your deeds, little church. I know your deeds. He says, I know your deeds. I have placed before you an open door. That's the only one he says that to. I place before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, little bit. Yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. So Jesus is basically, without going into the rest of it, I placed before you an open door. Guess where Philadelphia ends up being? Right over here in Decapolis. Isn't that awesome? The church that gets it is the one that's in the mess. In the messiest part of the area, of the region, on the wrong side of the street, on the wrong side of the sea. The dirty place, the place where the Christians won't go. But it is over there later through the apostles and all the missionaries. They birth out Philadelphia. Now, I don't know how important that is to you, but that's important to me. But it was the hardest place to get to. Going across that sea in the storm. You see, one reason I think those boats didn't go with Jesus all the way is because maybe they thought, Jesus didn't tell them where they were going. Maybe they thought, oh, we're going to go over here and we're going to shoot down here by Tiberias. We're going to shoot down here. We're going to go to one of the other towns. But when they started going this direction, the Bible, I think those boats said, we ain't going to Decapolis. We're turning around. And that's what some of our old members did. We're coming with you. It sounds great. It looks great. Oh, I want to come with you. And when we start getting into a few storms, I'm going to find me another place. Now, believe me, I'm not saying this is not the only church in town. There are some churches doing some great work. There are. But I believe one of the hardest stories for people to believe in is not that Jesus walked on water. But people can't get over the fact and can't get over the place that they just can't believe in demonic possession. They cannot believe the story that we just read. You see, along the coastline was a lot of healings. A lot of God's people needed healing. There's also demonic. Let me tell you even how bad it was. See, there's people here today don't believe in it. How do I know that? Because the Bible says the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They believed in angels and they believed in demons. But the Sadducees didn't. The Sadducees did not believe in demons. They did not believe in angels and they did not believe in the resurrection. Yet they all believed in God. You see, some of you here today, we may believe in Jesus Christ and God and have that great, but some of us don't believe. Because we can't get our mind past what we see physically. And we use our physical eyes instead of our spiritual eyes. And how can you remember that? Pharisees believed in it. The Sadducees didn't. And some people say, you can just say it's sad to see that some don't believe in it. I want to tell you today, you're not as smart as you think you are, and I'm not as smart as I think I am. So that makes me want to have Jesus just a little bit more. That makes me want to pray a little bit more. That makes me want to read a little bit more. That makes me want to worship. Makes me want to be around Jesus just a little bit more. But there are some people out in our community that are like these individuals. They're demon-possessed. Not everyone is demon-possessed. Don't get me wrong. But some are. Some are just living a lifestyle outside of God. They're living a life the way the world does. They don't have Christ in their life. They've heard of Christ. They went to a church, but a church don't save you. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And how do you get that? You ask Him into your heart. You acknowledge that you are a sinner. It's as though that, like, Jesus comes down on the beach. We got to deal with some stuff. And Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And you're not the only sinner of the world. Jesus came all, so that all might be saved. And God's love is amazing because He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John tells us that he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son of God does not have life. It is placed all over Scripture. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need more. It's not that you need more to get saved, but you need more of Him how to live your life once you come saved. Some of us say, I'm saved, but I'm asking some of you, are you still up on Capernaum? Still standing up there? It's a great idea. It's, yes, I want to go, but when it puts the foot into the boat, I don't want to do that. So when we come back, we're going to be right back up there, and you're going to hear testimonies, but you're not going to have a testimony. You can only share with what you've heard and not what you've known yourself. Good to be in the house of the Lord today? Is it okay to put your feet into Capitalist a little bit? Listen, I'm going to tell you straight out, and I know my wife's not going to be upset, but when we started first thinking of coming to Huntington, she said, Jimmy, she grabbed my hand. I'll never forget it. We're driving. She grabbed my wrist, and she said, are you sure? Huntington has an evil cloud over it. I feel it every time we come here. The first time that we knocked on doors, bang, bang, bang. Hey, my name is Jimmy. Just want to let you know we're the new church down on State Street. It was me, my wife, and it was Scott and another individual. The first time we intercepted into some people that were into witchcraft. Listen, don't tell me it don't exist. It exists. But here's the awesome part. We are still here because God has opened a door. And it's a big door. And there's no reason. I was just talking to Mike this morning. There's no reason we should be here except for the fact that it is God's business. It is just some people that have got together on His will. And the Bible says also in Mark, God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the man who's following the will of God. He'll only listen to the sinner when they calls out and that person says, I am a sinner. I need you, Jesus, in my life. And then He'll listen to you as you come to Him broken and needing a Savior. But the Scripture says in Mark, God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the man who follows the will of God. I like it. Because it knows when we pray as a believer, He hears us. We're not just shooting words in the air. How many of y'all glad you're a Christian today? Amen? All right, let's go ahead and stand. I'll give you an opportunity this morning that if you want to come and you want to pray for whatever that piece is for you, whatever that piece is for you that you need to know that you are saved, you need to come and you just say, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. This is my new day. This is the day where I ask Christ into my life. This is the day where things are going to get new. It doesn't mean everything gets perfect. Listen, it doesn't mean everything gets perfect. We live in a broken world. We're going to continue to be around broken people.